The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Good morning and welcome back to the God School. I know we have a continuing series hanging out there that the time for hiding is over. However, of late, I have been moved and am being moved to look at the Psalms. Today we're going to look at a Psalm of David, of whom it is said of God, "He is a man after mine own heart." The context of this psalm, that is, of David, chosen and anointed of God, not seeking any high place, nonetheless chosen by God. If we look at David's life, as you know, we said last week, this life of faith, it's, if it were on a graph, it would be up and down and up and down, up and down. One has said of David's life, his highs were higher than ours, and his lows were lower than ours. He's anointed to be king. And immediately, trouble comes. He's serving the king. He's fighting the enemies of God's people and fighting that king called Saul, who wants to kill him. He's winning victories in the name of the Lord, but being pursued like a dog by Saul, till finally he flees to the enemy's camp. He acts like a madman, to a point where Amalek rejects him and he's removed from that camp, and he finds himself hiding in a cave at a place called Adullam. Years now we've covered in David's life since the anointing, the choosing by God has been made manifest And those things that are associated with that calling, with that choosing, with that anointing, have not been made manifest, he's hiding in a cave. I'm almost reminded of the Apostle Paul's life when, you know, God gives him directions and he winds up in prison in Philippi, and he and Silas, he said, let's, in the darkest part of the prison, at midnight, when circumstance should call into question God's faithfulness. And Paul says, let's sing. Well, we have a predecessor of Paul, another man after God's own heart. And he says, in Psalm 34, open your Bibles, please. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Doesn't matter the circumstance. The Philippian letter says, I have learned to abound and I've learned to be abased in whatsoever circumstance I find myself, to be content. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. King James is funny. You know, first verse says, I will bless, halal. Second verse says, make her boast, halal, in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. A few weeks ago, we were teaching in Psalm 84. This psalm, we could call or see a valley of the blessed of the Lord and find a place of springs for us who come after, that it might be refreshing also. The humble shall hear and be glad. He goes on to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Like Paul says to Silas, let's praise the Lord. And let us exalt his name together. Here's a testimony. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. poor man cried. The Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. I want to look. At a few words. In verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me. The Hebrew word has a sense of being snatched. Removed, snatched from all my fears. Now stay with me. This word in the Hebrew talks about terrors. What's terrorizing you today? The promise of God to those who seek him, that he hears and snatches me from all my terrors. In the sixth verse, it says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. This word translated troubles has to do with tightness, as being pressed by an adversary in a tight space. It says, and saved him. Yasha is that Hebrew word. It means to get victory, to be open, wide, free, secure. The Lord heard and gave victory from all the tightness, from all the pressing of the adversary. I hope you're with me today. I'm talking to myself first, folks. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, we need to get a sense of what originally was being said by the great psalmist of Israel, by David. We read in the fourth verse, delivered me from all my fears, terrors. And now we look in the seventh verse and it says, campeth round about them that fear him. This is not being terrorized by God. This is an attitude of, the word is yara. It means to be reverent, to revere. to the desire to please. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, Asher, same word as in Psalm 84. No condition of which ever changes in that man. We're not talking about circumstance, we're talking about the condition of being blessed. Blessed is the man that trusts in him, in the Lord. Hussah is the word that flees to the Lord for refuge. How did he flee? With words. It says in the fourth verse, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Part of this relationship that we are having with God is manifest by words. Psalm 91:2 says, I will say to God. Hosea 14 says, use words. God likes to hear. Likes to hear from his own, from his chosen, from his anointed. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, again, with reverence, with humility, as it says, the humble. Shall hear and be glad. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek inquire, ask of God. We could read oftentimes in the battles that David faced, he inquired of the Lord. He used words. And God responded. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. We all know that most wonderful psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear, the reverence of the Lord. What man desires life? love's days, that he may see good. An instruction, keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile, that is, treachery or deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Oh, well, Don, if you knew me, I have a tough time relating to that one because I'm not righteous. Well, you know, get in the back seat. Because this one claims not his own righteousness, but the gift of righteousness, which is manifested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut them off, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. There's a day coming, folks. There is a day coming. It says, cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now, I want to go back. It says in the fourth verse, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Seventh verse says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The English just doesn't say it, because this word in the seventh verse is different than the word in the fourth verse. This word in the seventh verse, translated delivereth, is shalatz, and it means to arm for war. We said some weeks ago, out of the book of Ecclesiasticus, that book which is not in that which we call scripture today, the tradition of man, Jesus said, you make void the word of God by your traditions. That second chapter of Ecclesiasticus says, my son, if thou shalt desire, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, to serve the Lord, prepare thyself for temptations. David is a most wonderful example. Highs higher than ours. But in that calling of God in his life, but his lows lower than any of ours. But it says, the angel of the Lord campeth round about him, that round about them that fear him, and arms them for whatever may be coming their way. Uh, In my Bible, there's a marginal reference to this. The angel of the Lord encampeth, to a verse out of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, 14th verse. Speaking of angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? To minister, to provide what's needed. The Lord is nigh. We don't, as Romans 10 says, have to go up and bring him down. We don't have to go down and bring him up. He's nigh thee. He's hang on 1 second. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, homologios is the word. Say something. The Lord is nigh unto them. That are of a broken heart. And saveth them, such as be of a contrite spirit. Circumstances, crushing, troubles, what's David's response to the circumstance in his life? He sought the Lord. And what's his response now? In the 19th verse, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All of a sudden, a burst of inspiration is upon David. Not that the rest isn't inspired, it is. But look at this. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. All of a sudden, he bursts out and he's talking about Jesus. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Marginal reference, guilty. The wicked, guilty, liable to punishment. And here's where we started. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him, none of them that flee for refuge in the Lord, none of them who say, the Lord is my refuge and fortress, my God, in whom I will trust, take refuge. None of them that trust in him, that is the Lord, shall be desolate. Now, 21st verse offers an alternative in the margin, guilty. We could expand, because the Hebrew allows it, it could also alternatively be translated that none of them that trust in him shall be ashamed. None of them that trust in him shall feel condemned. None of them that trust in him shall be condemned. None of them that trust in him shall be made to feel guilt. None of them that trust in him shall be punished. None of them that trust in him shall incur guilt. That's an amazing statement. And we have the whole Word of God that we might understand the power of God unto salvation. It says of our Lord, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But whosoever flees to the Lord for refuge. Those that whosoever faiths in the Lord should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that faiths on him is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I've just read to you John 3:16 through 18. And now, Romans 8. Say, well, Don, I'm following you, and you didn't finish that first verse of Romans 8. That's because it's not in the original. The declaration is very plain, without condition. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's added by the translators, and they don't even show it, folks, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not there. It comes later. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. David, 1,000 years before Christ, says the Lord, from 1,000 years before Christ, our Redeemer, says the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be condemned, shall be punished, shall incur guilt. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And that essential message of the gospel is for faith. God puts Christ in us. And not only that, he puts us in Christ. And in him, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. As we continue this journey, let us continue in faith with the understanding as Jesus said when tempted by Satan in the desert After a 40-day fast, he said, "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus responded and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God provides for the flesh. He also provides for our spirit, for our soul. And this is meat for the soul. As we continue to trust in Him, to flee for refuge, to say unto God, "Thou art my refuge," we shall not only not feel guilt, we shall not be guilty. We shall not be condemned. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And that's the God School for today.